You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello and welcome to the first SRA podcast of SRA Con 2017. So you are in fact listening to the Student Radio Association, and we're going to be telling you all about what's going on at the conference over the next few days. So if you're not here, you can feel like you're here. So we are currently at De Montfort University in Leicester because Demon FM are the host station this year. So we're going to tell you a little bit about the trade fair this morning.
Thank you, Lydia. I'm Abby. I'm going to be one of the podcasters. And so we're just walking in to the Hugh Aston building here for SRA Con. And as soon as you walk in, you see a lovely registration table, which is currently being bombarded by Sussex University radio station. So this week, you've got so much to look forward to after you register. You've got the likes of Greg James, Mr. Jam, James O'Brien, you know, really big names from the world of radio. But this morning, we have the trade fair going on. So, Jordan, do you want to tell us about that?
I can indeed. Thank you, Abby. So the trade fair is a bunch of different sort of companies and stuff within radio that students can talk to. So we've got the likes of Radio News Hub, we've got MCR Live, and we've got Brut Branded, and they've got plenty of freebies. Students love freebies, but they also have amazing opportunities. So go and talk to these people and they'll tell you what they've got to offer. And finally, we have a little bit of an outro from Fenella.
Hello. So I'm another of the podcasters here, and our job is to keep you updated with what's going on at the SRA conference this year. So stay tuned, but now we're going to hear a bit more about the trade fair.
Hello, this is Abby for the SRA podcast, and I'm here with Chris Smith from Coffee House. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
Good. So do you want to tell us a little about what Coffee House is?
Yeah, of course. So it's a nationwide live PR tour. We put artists out on the road, and they go visit student unions in universities all around the country. Currently, we're visiting 19 universities over 11 days. The artist obviously gets a lot out of it. They get to play in front of students, but they also get a lot of media training opportunities. So they get to go speak to student radio, student press, student TV. We'll come along and film the sessions. So it's a win-win for everyone. It's an amazing platform, and it's really come along in the last few years.
So what sort of inspires you to like keep Coffee House sessions going then?
I think the main thing for us is obviously when we see what the artists get out of it. It was kind of set up for two reasons. One, to give artists this platform to go and tour when they might not have the opportunity otherwise. And secondly, to help student unions, the ENTS managers who need kind of daytime entertainment, but also the student media on campuses in places like Lincoln, Loughborough, where they don't always get opportunities to interview, you know, touring artists. So when you see what they get out of it, I think it kind of makes it all worthwhile.
Cool. So what are some highlights? What are some of the acts that you've seen that have maybe come as smaller and then gone their way up after Coffee House?
Yeah, we've had lots of amazing names come through. So we had Hudson Taylor, Izzy Bizu, Tom Walker, Tom Pryor, Matt Wills. We've had a girl just in the last few months called Cara Marnie, who is signed to First Access Management, who look after Zayn, Ellie Goulding, Rita Ora. She is an absolute star, is going to be absolutely huge. So that's one name as well that I definitely recommend people keep an eye out on for.
Brilliant. So where is, so obviously like you say, it's still going on now. Is there any way that Coffee House is expanding?
Yeah, absolutely. We're currently sort of looking at the tour route for next year. We'll probably stick with, you know, the majority of unions that we were with this year, but I'm sure there'll be two or three that, you know, won't be part of the tour for whatever reason. And that gives an opportunity for other student unions to get involved. We're chatting to a few at the moment, but at the same time, you know, that drive to get involved with Coffee House sessions can come from student radio if there's an appetite for live music during the daytime in your student union. Go and tell, you know, your student union and bookers, the events team, and yeah, we can talk.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
Hello, I'm Lydia and I am at the trade fair at SRA Con 2017, and I am currently joined by Niels from DIRA, is that correct?
DIRA is our product line. It's called the Digital Radio, and I'm from the company Sizes Deutschland GmbH, and yeah, we are a company, our mother companies has headquarters in the UK. Yeah.
Cool, and can you tell us a little bit about what you do, what your company does?
Okay, we are doing nearly everything from the content management up to the playout stuff, so we can can ingest, document, and in the end you can play out everything. Yeah.
Awesome. And obviously you're here today at the trade fair. What are you hoping to get out of it, or what are you hoping to show the students who come up to you?
I'm here for, just get the brand into the brains of the students. So they are trained in the universities, and it could be better if they're trained in dearer products, because dearer products are used at the BBC, for example. So it's a big step when they already know the products or the programs which they are working. Yeah.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello, so we're at the trade fair. I'm Jordan. I'm here with Radio Co and MCR Live. So we've got Reese. So do you want to just tell us a bit about Radio Co, what you're about?
So Radio.co is a cloud-based automation software, so you can schedule programs, schedule music in the clouds, start a radio station really easily, and you can broadcast from anywhere because it's all cloud-based. You don't need loads of equipment. You don't need loads of tech guys dealing with servers and all that rubbish. It's just opening up your laptop and creating a slick radio station really easily.
So like a student that loves to spend time in his room, their room, they could literally start it from their room.
Yeah, they could start. So we have clients, people in their bedrooms, to all the way to like big radio stations, to pop-up radio stations, advertising agencies use this. It's really a product for everyone that's interested in radio, pop-up radio, to get started.
Anyone who's attending SRA, you can get 3 months free on the system by visiting radio.co/SRA.
Sweet. And then MCR Live, can you tell us a bit about that?
So MCR Live is a brand new radio and podcast network for Manchester. It's a spin-off from radio.co, so it's kind of like a guinea pig for us to test out new features and things on. But we're also a radio station. We've got a digital radio license in Manchester, plus also various different podcasts covering everything from lifestyle to culture to tech. And we launched about 6 weeks ago, so we're here just sort of talking about it and showing people what we're doing.
Sweet. So what would you say to any students that are going to come talk to you at the SRAs, sort of to sell yourselves to them?
Well, radio.co is a great way of sort of dipping your fingers and kind of getting familiar with where radio automation is going. At the moment, a lot of radio studios have got software based on a computer whirring away in the studio. What we've done is we've moved that into the cloud, so you can log in and access it from anywhere. That's where we think the radio industry is going to go over the next sort of 10 years.
And think, say, a student who's doing a live broadcast, like a sports event, rather than lugging all this equipment along, all you need is like your sound equipment, so your mics, your mixer, and then a laptop and an internet connection. So it makes life so many SRA stations would benefit from running on us rather than a clunky old server solution. And it's a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah. To hear more, go to studentradio.org.uk.
Hi, this is Abby for the SRA podcast here at SRA Con 2017 at De Montfort University, and I'm here at the trade fair with Chris from Smooth FM. Hi, Chris, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, you?
I'm very good, thank you. So, Chris, tell us who you are, why are you here?
So, I'm Chris, I work for the street team at Smooth Radio, and we're here hopefully to try and get people to join us and learn. Yes, hopefully just for people to learn about kind of how they can get involved with Smooth Radio, how to get their foot in the door at a radio station, and hopefully get themselves a job.
So how did you start getting involved with Smooth?
So for me, it was all about basically knowing the right people. So I had a friend who happened to be one of the people in charge at Smooth Radio, and he messaged me one day and asked if I wanted to work, and they needed someone to work. And that's how I got involved, and I stuck at it, and now I've been working there about a year. So I'd say it's really mostly about knowing people and getting to know people and making connections and talking to people, and at some point you never know, a job might come up.
Lovely. So what do you people do on the street team?
So our job is to go out and talk to people, basically be the face of the radio station. So whenever there's an event going on, we're there, we've got all our branding set up, we're talking to people, giving out free stuff, people love free stuff, and just making people aware of the Smooth brand and who we are and what we do, and hopefully that will translate into listeners and boost the listener figures, and we do a great job.
Lovely. Okay, and what is the highlight for you working on the street team?
Meeting people, working at events. The events are so much fun, especially the ones we do in the summer. I remember my first shift was when Leicester won the Premier League. So we went there. We went down to the football stadium, and the atmosphere was incredible. Those are the kind of shifts I love.
Yeah. Amazing. So yeah, if you head over to the Smooth Stand, free stuff apparently.
Lots of free stuff.
Brilliant. So thank you very much, Chris. That was great.
No problem.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
I am here with Mark for journalism, learning about journalism here at the trade fair. So, Mark, why are you here with us today at the trade fair?
So, I'm here as head of training for the Press Association. We run training for new journalists from the UK and from overseas as well. And I'm here to try and spread the message that now is a great time to be a journalist, despite the economic situation, despite the naysayers. And that when it comes to providing journalism training, I'd like to think that the Press Association provides some of the best training in the industry. People come to our training and go on to great jobs in radio, in newspapers, in television, in digital and online, and all sorts of other areas. I'm hoping I'll see some of those people today.
So how do people find you? If they've missed the trade fair, then where are they going to find you? Online?
They can find us with our NCTJ and PPA accredited diploma courses on becomeajournalist.co.uk, or they can come to pressassociation.com where they'll find details of our short course training.
Okay. And for those who do want to become a journalist, what's your biggest tip? Tip of the day?
Don't give up. Be determined, be resilient, don't let people put you off. It's a great career, and if you really want to do it, you'll succeed.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA. Do you guys want to tell me sort of how you started out and how Abrupt came to be?
Yeah, sure. So both of us are from a student radio background. I started out at Portsmouth University and then at Solent University. And it was his old stomping ground was here where we are now at De Montfort. We moved from that into commercial radio. We met doing a breakfast show for a national radio station. And then I decided that I kind of wanted to say what I wanted on commercial radio rather than sort of sometimes having to read what had been sold. And I decided, I'm going to go and do Abrupt podcast. I can be rude and a shock jock and do kind of whatever I wanted. And then I fell in love with podcasts, and I actually never made Abrupt podcast, but we created Abrupt Audio, the podcasting company out of it.
Yeah, so I was at De Montfort. I was Demon FM from the days back to when Chris North wasn't just an advisor, but Chris North was a program manager, station controller, and he is responsible for me being in radio completely. And so I did that and then went on and lucky to work at Radio 1 for a few years after that, and Classic FM and lots of places. And then I did my own show, did my own breakfast show, Drive Time show. And around that time, so this is about 2005, that's when I made my first podcast. And I was very excited by that as a new medium. And then moving into doing a breakfast show, I didn't really have time to do that. And it kind of dropped off for a while. And then when me and Chris were put together on a show in Southampton, we were both doing this separately and we just came together, and now we've developed and turned it from just an idea and a hobby into an actual business.
Amazing. So yeah, it really come from the ground up. So what does Abrupt Audio do?
So we have two sides of the business. One is that we actually make podcasts. We release them. Obviously, all podcasts are free to listen to. And then we look for sponsorship on those and that. But we're growing those shows and helping people to grow those shows. And there's some brilliant ones, from comedy to football satire to technology, everything. And then we have our Abrupt branded side of the business, which is where we teach people or help people to build podcasts. And that's everything from one person in their bedroom to big companies that want us to just, they come in, their marketing manager goes, you make it, I don't want to do anything to it. And so we do everything from bottom to top.
And I think the whole thing with it is it's just a lot of what we know from this business has just come from the experience of doing it a lot. And so last year, just myself, I made 100 podcasts last year. and that teaches you a couple of things, one of which is you have to really like what you're doing to get that much out. But just that habit of doing those things, it's like anything, like the more you do it, the more you learn, the more mistakes. And really, I think a lot of the experience that we've got is just because we've made a lot of these mistakes before. And so part of what we offer as an advisory service is to save you that trouble. You know, and the thing is, there are no rules with podcasting, because you can do what you want. You can be as long as show as you want. You can talk about anything that you want. But there are other things that come with the more practical things, more design things, where the mistakes that you can make that affect the quality of the recording, that affect the just little things in terms of getting the message out there to people. And we're still learning all the time. And we just want to share that with people. And it's something that we think that everybody should have a podcast. That's kind of our philosophy. Mm. And we're doing a talk tomorrow morning, one of the breakout sessions, which is... So the idea in the breakout session tomorrow is we've got 45 minutes to do our presentation, say hello, and make and release a podcast in that 45 minutes. So we're just hoping we've got good Wi-Fi.
So you take an idea to iTunes is the idea. And then really, Anne said, it's about sharing that knowledge, that the fact of the matter is at the moment iTunes sort of owns 80% of podcast listening, whether we like it or not. And so there are sort of tips, tricks and hacks that you can't get from anywhere else other than people who have experienced it or learnt it. And that's what we're trying to pass on. I mean, we've been doing it now for many years, and those hacks have helped people. I mean, every podcast that we've helped someone with has got onto the new and noteworthy section on iTunes, which is just a massive organic growth. Or it has been in the past. Whether that's going to continue to be the thing with their rebrand, I don't know. But it's passing on that knowledge that's really helped us.
And I think from our point of view, it's important to be back here, because for both of us, we got a whole careers from starting out in student radio, yeah, and from doing these things. And yet we see now podcasting has been not just another option for people, but also the future in terms of for people moving forward. And obviously you've got some very big podcasts that have made a lot of money in recent years. The big one at the minute is S-Town, in terms of the amount that it's downloaded on the back of Serial before. But then there are other podcasts which we can't divulge who, but we've been involved with, which have signed, you know, ridiculously amounts of sponsorship. And so it is actually becoming a viable direction for people to move forward. And people that are going to be here at the conference this weekend that have spent their time learning the skills of shooting radio, it's not that different when you get into real radio, what you do here. But the problem you've got is there's only a finite number of jobs that are in there. And the people that have already got those jobs don't want to lose those jobs. Yeah. And so rather than, and I've seen it so many times, I often say to people, you know, I was so successful in my radio career, and yet I always say there's so many people better than me that never made it, that got turned away, that stumbled at the first hurdle, and this outlet wasn't there for them. And I think, you know, it's a way of developing talent, a way of allowing people to have another creative outlet, and also for, you know, really turning the industry on its head. I mean, I love radio and audio as a medium, but I think podcasting still hasn't come of age, and I think we're on the cusp where 15 years ago everybody started to want them to have a website. They didn't quite understand why, and I think that's starting to happen with podcasts now, and in the next 18 months we're going to see a real boom in that.
Okay, so my final question to you, obviously you're experts in podcasts then, I think we can summarise there. So what to you makes a great podcast?
I'd say the first thing with that is passion. It's like, any, if you go out and make it, because you need that passion to maintain it, you need to be doing it regularly, whether that's once a month, once a week, once a day, and if you don't have the passion, you won't have that. And apart from that, I'd say there are no rules. The technical skills that you need, like the equipment we're doing this interview on, we can teach you that in an hour. That's all that you need. And then you learn it all from going out and doing it all the time. And I think just that, and being, it's a way of self-expression. You don't have to have a preconceived idea of a style or a voice or even a format. You can just go out and make it. And I think we're still excited. One of the things that we do as a discipline is we have regular blogs that we put out, and every week we review a brand new podcast and we challenge each other to find new podcasts and listen to. And every time we find these podcasts, we're going, why did we never think of that? That's a great way to do that. And there's so much out there. I think there's almost too much at the minute. There's no one to guide you through and show you the best way to go. But I think there's a lot of things that make a bad podcast. But then it's only a narrow margin then to those things that make a great podcast.
And it's expanding boundaries. I mean, Ant mentioned that there's no need for a voice anymore. That's the same. It follows radio in that the radio voice of BBC Radio 2 kind of started presenting that. It's gone. And it's all about personality with radio presenters, and that extends to podcasts. And I think that that's become really evident in things like S-Town, where it was just such a big touching story to people that that's what rung true, and it wasn't the same as Serial before it had this big turn. I won't go into any more because I don't want to give any spoilers. But it really does sort of break those boundaries again, and all the big ones like S-Town, Serial, those sorts of things are just a wow, I didn't know I could do that with audio. And it's that makes, I think, a great podcast. It just breaks down boundaries that were there and creates this new amazing thing that everyone wants to hear.
Brilliant. Okay, yeah, so that was Chris and Ant from Abrupt Audio here at the SRA Trade Fair. So thank you again very much, guys. Thank you.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello, Fenella here with Xanthi from Mixcloud. So why are you here today at our trade fair?
Well, I wanted to just tell people a bit more about Mixcloud in case they didn't know about it, but also tell them about a few features that are pretty useful if you're working in radio. So a lot of radio stations around the world are now using Mixcloud for their Listen Again archiving shows purposes. We've got a playlist feature that enables you to separate out all your shows into different sections, and it's just a really great place to store all the radio that you're doing on it.
And so today, what do you think the best question would be that someone could ask you, in your opinion?
The best question probably would be how to make the most of the Mixcloud community, because that's how you really see the benefits of using the platform.
And how do you make the most of the Mixcloud community?
Well, it's all about how involved you get with other people who are using the platform. So if you decide what sort of thing you're into, be it with your shows or your whole station, and find other people around the world on the platform who are doing similar shows and have similar interests, then you can go and support their page and favourite and repost and like and show them support. And hopefully that will then come back to you and they'll do the same to you, and you'll then be able to reach their entire audience. So it's a way of spreading your shows around amongst a much bigger international audience.
And do you have anything else you'd like to say to our fellow student radio people?
So I worked as a radio producer for 10 years before working at Mixcloud, and the one thing I would say to anyone who wants to work in radio is if people tell you it's really hard to get in and don't bother, it's impossible, just don't believe them, because it's definitely possible to get into radio. It's very easy. You just have to work really hard and be really super keen.
To hear more,
go to studentradio.org.uk.
So I am Lydia, and I'm here at the trade fair at SRACon 2017, and I am joined by David from Broadcast Radio.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Showing off some new bits.
Yeah, so what is it that you have here? Is it Myriad? Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Myriad was created by two students working for Hull University Radio at Hull, and they created the first version in 1997 to run the student station. When they graduated, they decided to see if they could turn it into a business. They did. They wrote Myriad, and now we are the UK's most popular radio playout system. We work around the world. We've got customers like TalkSport, Abu Dhabi Media. And for the last 2 years, we've been completely rewriting Myriad, and I'm showing a technical preview for it being out very soon, so people can come and have a play today.
Cool. So, yeah, as you say, there's a big setup here that looks really, really cool, and I know I'll definitely be hanging around having a bit of a play with it. So, obviously, you said it was sort of created by students. So is it a very student-friendly software?
Well, we like to think that it's very intuitive. So, you know, no matter whether or not you're a child at a primary school, which has the same software, or you're a national sports broadcaster at TalkSport, you need to be able to get the audio very quickly and intuitively on air when things are breaking, when stuff is happening very quickly. So it doesn't matter how old you are, what your ability is. If we've made it intuitive enough, anybody can use it, and hopefully we have.
So what is it that you're doing here today? Are you just sort of giving students an opportunity to experience Myriad, or trying to maybe get a few people to sort of sign up to using it? Or
it would obviously be nice to have people to sign up, but no, today is all about reminding the student stations that we appreciate the stations that have bought from us over the years. Some may not know about the history where we started, so it's about reminding the stations and the Student Radio Association of where we started. And it's a thank you, you know, because that's where we started. So we haven't ever forgotten and be very proud of our association with Student Radio. In fact, we created a brand new brand last year called University Radio. So, you know, we're just very passionate about what radio in education can do. And we've got over 400 school radio stations as well now from primary and secondary schools. So kids as young as 7 and 8 are creating radio shows with our systems.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
So Fenella here at the Trade Fair, and I'm joined by Tom and Jason from the National Broadcasting School. So why are you here today?
We're here to promote the Bauer Journalism Programme. We deliver it in Manchester at Key 103, and the next course is in September, and it's the fast-track way into a career in radio journalism.
Who is this for? Who are you aiming this at?
It's for postgrads mainly, anyone over the age of 18, and people who are passionate about a career in radio. So they might have done an undergraduate degree. It's like a boot camp. So you're based at the news headquarters of Bauer. So you kind of get interviewed from day one by the Bauer team. And it's an intensive, practical, hands-on type of course rather than an academic course. And we're very successful at getting people jobs. That's essentially what it's all about. Can we get you a job as a broadcast journalist? And the answer is normally yes. But we do cheat by being very selective about the people we take on. So they're pretty good to start with, and we just give them the final polish, and then they get their BJTC qualification, and then they hopefully get a job.
And so any tips for people who are going for this position in the scheme?
It's very competitive journalism, so you need to give yourself every advantage. Obviously, universities are training a load of postgrad journalists, but we're industry-based, so we're embedded within the Bauer news team. So you've got an advantage because you're actually in a job interview from day one, working with all the top Bauer journalists. So if you're any good, you'll get a job.
Sounds good to me. Any hot tips from you?
Well, I think it's important to be enthusiastic and go in there with a clear mind. That's what radio is all about. And what we're trying to do, not only just the Bauer course, but it also broaden what we do as well at the school. So we're looking at podcasts, we're looking at YouTube, we're looking at professional radio skills as well. So, you know, for graduates like yourself that are going to be graduating this year, you've got all the practical skills, you've learned the theory behind it. Perhaps you've not been able to spend many, many months within a radio station. So the Bauer course gives you that. What Tom's just said is just get in there, be enthusiastic, go through the interview process, and once you're in, actually you're a fool if you don't get yourself a job, because you're in front of these people day in, day out. Not only are you getting a great education from some really top professional people from the industry, but you're getting the opportunity to have coffee with them, you're getting the opportunity just to impress them on a day-to-day basis. And when I got into radio when I was very, very young, it was actually about enthusiasm. It was going down to a local radio station, BBC Radio Lancashire at the time, and just saying, I want to follow around the journalist, I want to follow around the sports presenter, and I'll learn everything that you can give me. Now, times have changed, we know that's not available now. This is almost old school and gives you that chance, doesn't it, Tom?
That's right.
So, I've come from a production background.
Okay.
I'm looking into journalism myself, and I'm considering maybe a master's. I don't really know what I want to do. So is this an alternative to doing a master's degree?
Yeah, definitely. It's not just radio, although radio is the core skill, because radio is the basis of most journalism careers in TV. All the people you see on television have started in radio, pretty much. But there's all kinds of other outputs. As well as being a journalist, there's a load of digital opportunities. Creating content's really important. PR, we've got a number of our students who go on from journalism to PR. The whole basis of creating content is where it's at across multi-platforms, whether it's YouTube or podcasting or vlogging. It's about great content, and this course focuses on writing skills, on editing skills, and making sure that you can write compelling and broadcast compelling content.
can I just add to that as well, Tom? There's loads you can learn from great radio skills. And if I use my career as an example.
Yeah, fantastic.
So I always wanted to be a radio presenter. And I always wanted to go full-time into radio. As it happened, I never really had a full-time career in radio. I went into the corporate world and became a chief executive of quite big businesses. But what I'd learned in my first training course was how to time manage, how to speak in front of a crowd, how to present information in an articulate and interesting way. They're skills that you get off our course. So even if you went and did your master's and you got another additional qualification on top of your graduate degree, that would be very beneficial for the future. But those core skills of being able to present, those core skills of sticking to a clock, those core skills of how to make things interesting will be good whatever you choose to do, whether it's radio or TV or something very, very different. Now, I've gone full circle. So I've gone wanting to be a radio presenter, going into the corporate world and coming back into it. And my career was successful on the back of the skills that I learned from those early training days. So even if it's just something you want as a weapon in your armoury of corporate diligence and skill, I'd recommend it to people.
So at the trade fair today, people have got a fantastic opportunity to come and speak to you.
Yeah.
People who miss it, what are they missing out on? Why should they be coming to the next one?
I think it's great to see so many people enthusiastic about radio. And it's a great way to meet people in the industry, talk about things in a bit more detail, to work out what you want to do afterwards. You don't always want to know what you want to do while you're doing your undergraduate degree. And it might be a chance to develop some ideas about future careers, and a chance to have a chat and find out a bit more.
And so people who do miss the trade fair today, how can they find more information about you?
Visit nationalbroadcastingschool.com.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
So I am Jordan and I'm here at the trade fair with Jamie and John from Radio News Hub. So do you just want to tell us a bit about News Hub first?
Yeah, sure. We're now into our third year. We produce and provide news bulletins for radio stations across the world. None of them are live. They're dispatched via Dropbox, FTP or email 24 hours a day. So our subscribing stations get them directly into their playout systems. And it's a 24-hour service. We do all sorts of bulletins, news, world news, business, sports, showbiz, entertainment, that is showbiz, weather. So yeah, that's basically the crux of us.
Have you got a favourite type of news, or is there a sort of news that you see students appeal to more?
I think from our point of view at the minute, it's especially what's happened in the last 24 hours, there's a lot of politics going on. I'm just looking at the poster across the way about the politics department here. I'm sure they're having a lot of fun at the moment. It's kept us really busy. We were doing our bulletins from the US in November for the US election. We're probably going to be heading back to London in a couple of months as well to do our bulletins from Westminster. But we like the show busy type stories, and I think that's probably... It's been a while since I've been a student, but I think that kind of talkability type of thing. So that, you know, what you talk about in the pubs and bars.
Yeah, my background's in sport as well. So obviously a lot of sports stories at the moment are making the news. I mean, we're here in Leicester. Look what Leicester have done over the last few months. I mean, often the sports stories have been the main news story as well. So I think we bring a big variety of things to the table and something for everybody, really.
And you mentioned you have an academy over in Mallorca, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, a little bit later this year, we're teaming up with one of our client stations. It's Radio 1 in Mallorca, and we're running a week-long course. It's at Palmer College, so it's looking at every single aspect of radio. It's something that I worked on previously in my career, and we're rolling it out to Mallorca. So yeah, it's a week-long look at every aspect of radio, so look at sales, marketing, news, programming, and everyone will end up doing their own As Live breakfast show by the end of the course. So a lot of fun, so yeah, check it out.